And so I will talk about the evolution of curvature and anisotropy in ecbriotic non-singular bounces. And this work is done with my advisor, Paul Steinhardt. And we were looking at a general framework of non-singular bounces that includes both an ecbriotic phase and a non-singular bouncing phase. So the ecbriotic phase serves as an alternative to the inflation that can create nice and smooth conditions and scale invariant curvature perturbations in the contracting phase. And then after the ecbriotic phase, the universe has to bounce from the contraction to expansion. And the advantage of non-singular bounces is that the scale factor stops contraction at a finite value so that the density is not too low, density is not too high, and we don't have to consider gravitational quantum gravity effects. The non-singular bounces are usually incurred by adopting the Gauss condensate models, which I will explain later. So the original question that we were trying to look at was whether the nice and smooth conditions, initial conditions to the standard cosmology that are prepared in the contracting phase, can they be passed to the expanding phase? Can they go through the bounce smoothly? And the other question is whether the non-singular bounce is observationally distinguishable from singular bounces. However, when we were analyzing this type of models, we ran into unexpected problems of huge growth of curvature and anisotropy before the bounce. And we convinced ourselves that these problems are generic to this type of models, and that's why the purpose of my talk today will be to show you what type of problems that we may encounter in these type of non-singular bouncing models. And we hope that this could be a lesson or a guide to building more successful models of non-singular bounces. So I will first give an example model for the non-singular bounces, and then I will list the problems that we found. Imagine that we have an ecbriotic contracting phase. So the ecbriotic phase is characterized by a scalar field phi that rolls down a negative exponential potential. So here, the ecbriotic phase begins at some point here, which we denote by V ec bag. And then the scalar field rolls down the potential rapidly. This is the ecbriotic phase, where the equation of state W is much greater than 1. Then the ecbriotic phase ends when the scalar field reaches the bottom of the potential, which we denote by V ec end. Then the potential rises steeply, so the scalar field climbs up, and this is the kinetic phase. The difference between this potential and the one that Paul showed this morning is that here we let the potential to rise continuously for some reasons that will be clear very soon. However, even if with this type of potential, it is still not possible to generate a non-singular bounce. So in order for a non-singular bounce, we need some non-trivial features in the Lagrangian. I will write the Lagrangian as P of x minus V of phi. Here, x is the usual kinetic term, which is half d phi square, and P is a general function of this, of x, and this reminds us of the quiescence model in inflation. In fact, they are pretty similar. So we need some special features of the function P in order to introduce a non-singular bounce. So let me draw a picture of P of x here. So this is x, and in the homogeneous case, it's just half phi dot square. And this is P here. We know that during the ecbriotic phase, the scalar field is normal, so that it has a canonic kinetic term, which which means that P is proportional to X. But then if we derive the second freedom equation from this Lagrangian, we find that H dot is equal to minus X times P sub X. Here P sub X means the derivative of P with X. And in order for the universe to slow down contraction, we need the H dot to be positive. And this immediately implies that we in fact need a negative slope of the function P of X. Therefore, we introduce some special features at a low energy, which is that the function P in fact turns up. So this type of function P of X is characteristic of the Ghost condensate model. At this point is called the Ghost condensate point, which I denote by XC. So we see that if we divide the regions here, then once we enter the left region of this point, then we are violating the null energy condition, and then we can have a positive H dot. So this is the way, to generate a non-singular bounce is to make the field enter the left region. So in the ekprojective phase, we start somewhere here, which is X ek bag, means the beginning of the ekprojective phase, and then it rolls down the potential, so the energy increases to some value X ek end. Then it meets the steep rise of the potential, so the kinetic energy decreases, and it goes all the way back. Sorry, this is the ekprojective phase, and then this is the kinetic phase. And then we know that in order to generate a non-singular bounce, that's why we need the potential to keep on rising, so that we can push the field to the left side of this P of X. So once we enter the left side, this becomes the bouncing phase, which I denote by BP. And then in correspondence with this XC, here I denote a value VC, which is the value of potential when we reach this Ghost condensate point. And once we go beyond this point and up, we are entering the bouncing phase, where the equation of state is less than minus one. So this is the basic setup of the model, and it will be helpful to also draw the kinetic energy from this function P of X. So remember that P of X is like the pressure, and then we also have the kinetic energy, which is in fact given by 2x times P sub X minus P. And then it looks like this. So here is XC. And we see that the non-trivial point about this kinetic energy is that it becomes negative once we enter the left region of the Ghost condensate point. So in the ekprojective phase, we start from here, and then we go up to a value n, then we come back all the way in the kinetic phase. Then once we go down here and the kinetic energy becomes negative in the bouncing phase. This is also an easier way to see how the non-singular bounce is generated, because if we write down the first freedom equation, it tells us that H squared is 1/3 T plus V. And now we know that in the bouncing phase, the potential energy is up here, which is positive. So if we can reach a sufficiently negative kinetic energy, then this would lead to H squared become zero, which is the bounce. From this construction, I would like you to notice that there is some consistency relation between these energy scales, which is that XC has to be less than X ek bag, which has to be much less than X ek n. This inequality is in the core of all the problems that I will mention. So this inequality is because we want the scalar field to be to go through this normal ekprojective phase. And the huge ratio between the energy scale at the beginning and the end of the ekprojective phase is given by the number of E folds of the ekprojective phase. So So here I write e to the 2n is equal to the ratio x x n over x x back. And this factor determines how much the curvature and anisotropy are suppressed during the ecbiotic phase, because we can write the curvature term and the anisotropy term here. So the anisotropy scales as 1 over a to the 6, while the curvature scales as 1 over a squared. And then in the ecbiotic phase, because the equation of state is much greater than 1, then the Hubble constant, the h squared, is dominated by the scalar field, and these two terms are suppressed. So this is the setup, and now I will start listing the problems that we found. So here are the problems. And here will be causes. And then here I will rate the seriousness. Then here I will write possible solutions to the problems. The first problem we found is the gravitational instability. This is simply related to the fact that the speed of sound, cs squared, becomes negative. And we know that in this quiescence-like models, the speed of sound is given by the ratio p of x over t sub x. And as we see here, in the bouncing phase, the slope of p is negative, while the slope of t is positive. That's why the speed of sound squared is negative. The way to understand this problem is to recall that within the horizon, the curvature perturbation undergoes oscillations, usually. But in fact, the mass term to this oscillation is given by k squared times cs squared. So when the cs squared goes from positive to negative, the solution goes from oscillation to exponential growth. And that's why even on the small scales, or large k, the evolution of curvature perturbation is still unstable, which will lead to gravitational collapse. And this is the reason for this problem. However, this problem is relatively mild, so I will give 2 stars to this problem. And the solution to this problem is simply to require that the duration of the instability is within a few e-folds. So this is to say that we want k times cs times delta t to be less than order 1. Here, this delta t is the duration of the bouncing phase. And I will soon show in the problem 2 that this duration of the bouncing phase is, in fact, determined by the model itself, so we don't have much control over it. So instead, we can just, we need to impose the condition that the CS squared is much less than 1, which can be achieved by changing the form of function p. Now, the second problem that we found is the classical anisotropy. Anisotropy is given by this term here, which scales as 1 over a to the 6. And in fact, geometrically, this term describes the shear of the three-dimensional space. So in a contracting phase, this term grows when the scale factor A decreases. And in fact, in a bouncing phase, because the scalar field has an equation of state W less than minus 1, that's why in this phase, the anisotropy term grows fastest. And if the bouncing phase lasts too long, Or, that is to say, if the scale factor shrinks by too large a factor, then this term will grow too much and perhaps dominate. This will ruin the background evolution that I just described to you. So in order to estimate how much the anisotropy may grow during the bouncing phase, we simply need to take the ratio of scale factor A at the end of the bouncing phase to the scale factor of A at the beginning of the bouncing phase to the power of -6. Now, because my time is limited, I won't be able to go into the computations of all these problems, so I will pick this problem as an example and show you how the problem arises and how these problems are related to the relation that I wrote here. Now, to see this problem, we simply need to analyze the evolution of the scalar field, and then under the approximation that here the function p of x increases steeply, the equation of motion for the scalar field can be written as t dot plus 3ht plus v prime phi times phi dot equals 0. Now, in the bouncing phase, because phi dot is small, or in other words, x is small, we can neglect this gradient term. And then the evolution is completely controlled by the friction term. Now, when we have this equation, we immediately find that the kinetic energy is proportional to 1 over a cubed. Therefore, in terms of the kinetic energy, the growth of the anisotropy can be written as the ratio T BPN over T BP back squared. Now we need to estimate these two energy scales. So from this picture here, as I mentioned, at the end of the bouncing phase, which is the bounce, the kinetic energy needs to cancel the potential energy, which means T BPN is on the order of VC, which is the same order of VxN, because the energy is almost conserved during the rapid kinetic phase. Then in turn, this energy, VxN, is in fact approximately equal to the energy x back. That is because the scaling solution of the ekpyrotic phase. So we write this is almost equal to Vc, which is on the order of x n. The estimation of this energy scale is a bit trickier because we should not replace it by zero at the beginning of the bouncing phase. In fact, we should estimate it by the value when this gradient term starts to be negligible. So if we do that, we will find that this energy scale is on the order of square root xc times xn. Now, if we plug these two numbers into the ratio, we find that this ratio is given by x n over xc. Then if we notice the inequality I wrote on the first blackboard, this has to be larger than x n over x back, which is e to the 2n. Therefore, we find that the growth of anisotropy in the bouncing phase is larger than the factor e to the 2n. And this factor e to the 2n comes from the huge ratio, the huge gap between the energy scale of xc and xn. So this problem is within the framework of the model. That's why it is more serious than the first model, which is why I give it 3 stars. However, there are ways to find solutions to this problem outside this model. For example, we may construct, or we may require that there is a dark energy phase before the ekpyrotic phase, like in the cyclic model. And then this dark energy phase will essentially dilute away . So notice that this factor is the same factor as the suppression of anisotropy during the ecbiotic phase. That's why if there is any initial anisotropy before the ecbiotic phase, then it comes back during the bouncing phase. But if we have a dark energy phase before the ecbiotic phase, then we can use the dark energy phase to exponentially suppress the classical anisotropy before the ecbiotic phase. And then we can start the anisotropic ecbiotic phase pretty smoothly. As it turns out, quantitatively, we need the anisotropy at the beginning of the ecbiotic phase to be somewhat less than XC, which is not hard if, as in Jean-Luc's model, if you have 60 for the dark energy phase. Now, so far, these two problems are on the classical level. The next two problems that I will talk about have quantum origins, and therefore the next two problems are more serious than the first two problems, in the sense that you cannot remove them by tuning the initial conditions before the ecbiotic phase. The third problem is the blue power spectrum of the curvature perturbation. And then the fourth problem is anisotropy from shear perturbation. Both curvature perturbation and shear perturbation are produced from quantum fluctuations, in the bouncing in the ecbiotic phase. So the third problem has to do with adiabatic curvature perturbations. And we have two knowledges about adiabatic curvature perturbations. One is that they are blue, and the second is that they are usually conserved outside horizon. Well, in fact, they are only conserved if the equation of state is almost constant. However, as I said here, in the rapid kinetic phase, the equation of state has to go from much larger than 1 to less than minus 1. And this rapid change of equation of state, in fact, leads to a huge growth of adiabatic curvature perturbation. And as a result, the curvature perturbation, adiabatic curvature perturbation, the ratio between this and the scale invariant curvature perturbation is given by a factor e to the n minus 2nk. Here, nk means the number of e-folds left when a mode k exits the horizon. And this factor e to the minus 2nk basically reflects the fact that the perturbation is, the adiabatic perturbation is blue, so it's suppressed by powers of k. Now this factor of e to the n has the same origin as the factor here, which is the huge ratio between x at n and xc. From this factor, we see that it's a trouble because for the modes that exit horizon during the second half of the ecbiotic phase, which is those with nk less than n over 2, the curvature perturbation is dominated by the adiabatic modes, which is blue. And that is inconsistent with observations. Therefore, this problem is very serious. So I give it 4 stars. And for now, I will leave the solution blank. The fourth problem has to do with the shear perturbations. And the result of computations is that the anisotropy at the end of the bouncing phase compared to the anisotropy at the end of the ecbiotic phase grows by a factor e to the 4n. Now, among these four, two of them comes from the same reason as the two in the problem two. And then the other two has the same origin as the factor here. Well, it's squared, so it has a 2 here. So that's where the 4 comes from. And we see that this is the largest number of all. So this problem is the most serious of all. So I will give it 5 stars. The reason is that if we have an overwhelming anisotropy in the universe, then the dynamics of the universe, the dynamics of the bonds, will be driven to Kästner-like contractions and mixed master, chaotic mixed master behaviors. So instead of a smooth bounce, the universe will end up with an extremely inhomogeneous anisotropic and singular bounce. So in light of all these problems, and especially the last two, it is fair to conclude that this framework of non-singular bounces totally fails. N is the number of e-folds. It's 120. Yes. And we see that comparing these problems, we see that most of the problems originates from this huge ratio or huge energy gap between the energy of the ecbotic phase and the energy of the bounce. So I recall that Justin mentioned an argument this morning that if the energy of the bounce is much higher than the energy of the contraction phase, then the large-scale properties of the universe should be passed through the bounce without being affected. Here it is a counterexample, because the problems we found is exactly due to the fact that we are trying to produce a non-singular bounce by Gauss condensation, which is a low-energy physics. And it's less apparent, and it has to do with the fact that the equation of state crosses minus one. But yes. Yes. So here the problem. Okay. Okay, well, I'm trying to give a heuristic argument that because this bounce happens with a low energy mechanism that corresponds to large length scales, and that's why this huge ratio appears from place to place and affects the dynamics of the bounce, which actually creates a disaster of this type of non-singular bouncing models. And we see that the problem boils down to the fact that Xc is much less than Xn. So we might anticipate that one way to go out of these problems is to relax this huge energy gap. I don't know if it is possible. So if we want to relax this energy gap, it probably involves modifying the realizations of the ecbotic phase or the mechanism for the non-singular bounce. And this is what we are currently working on. Thank you.
Any questions?